Your answer is God. God's word, God's will, God's way. God will take care of you.
Have you been dealing with financial hardships? Then today's Believer's Voice of Victory will be an encouragement to you. Join Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Leroy Thompson for a special word from the Lord concerning your prosperity.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer, and we will get right back into today's Bible lesson. Father, we just praise you and we thank you. How exciting it is in the kingdom of God. There's darkness all around, but there's light in the land of Goshen.
Oh,
we thank you for it. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Join me again today in welcoming Leroy Thompson to this broadcast. Leroy, this has been an exciting week, man. I get excited around you anyhow, but you, man, listen, I'm so glad I came this week.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Leroy, I don't want to take up any more time. I want you just to dive right into this because I know you got some things from the Lord that need to be brought out on this broadcast today.
Okay, now, we're dealing with no more empty hands.
Mm-hmm.
We started off with the promise of God. We went to the plan of God. We talked about the purpose of not having empty hands. We said prosperity is a divine mark of stewardship. On yesterday, we talked about pursuing God's favor by following instruction, and Brother Copeland did a splendid job on explaining what type of meaning the word borrow has unto us as believers. Today, I want you to open your Bible to Jeremiah 33:9 and Psalm 35:27. I want to talk about, in this revelation of no more empty hand, God's pleasure is fulfilled in your hands being full.
Oh, that's good.
God's pleasure is fulfilled in your hands being full. In Psalm 35:27, it says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yeah, let them say continuously, let the Lord be magnified." Now, watch this last statement. "Which has pleasure, God, in the prosperity of his servant." And then over in Jeremiah 33:9, and I'll be moving a little swiftly because there's a good many things I want to say. "And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth." They need to see you blessed. "What shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it." So God's pleasure is fulfilled in your hands being full. Let's talk a moment about famine and recession, because we've been hit the last 4 or 5 months real hard, talking about a bailout. The only bailout we can get is from God. God is the only one that can really, really bring you out, because man way is a self-preservation. Man is looking out for himself. If you borrow and make a loan, the people are really not looking out for you. They're looking out for themselves, and you become their slave. So let's look at Genesis 26:1 when we talk about famine and recession. In Genesis 26:1, it says, "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Amalek, king of the Philistine, unto Gerar." Now, there's a famine. Mm-hmm. What to do when there's a famine? What to do when there is a recession? What to do when the world system fails? Well, the revelation of no more empty hands says, release your seeds.
Yeah.
Release your seed. So in Genesis 26:12, now we see, even though there was a famine in Genesis 26:1, Then Isaac sowed in that land. Now, when he said that land, he's talking about that land where the famine was.
Where that famine was.
Yeah, right.
You know, right up there in that very beginning, the first thing he said to him is don't run.
Don't
try to run somewhere else. Just be still and do what I tell you, because you can't make it anywhere without obeying God. If you obey God, you can make it anywhere. That's what he's trying to say. Don't jump and run to Egypt. Don't jump and run to this or run to that or do that. Just enter into my rest. Do what I tell you to do.
I remember that from aspect of my ministry. I was down in Darrow, a little small country town. I remember you came and you prophesied because of the word of God. God going to explode this place when you're down in my place. It happened exactly like you said, but I was about to leave and take a church out by Southern University, go out there and take a church, and the word of the Lord come to me and says, I'm going to bless you here. So it's not where you are, it's who you are.
Now it may well come, and you just say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, yes.
I'm not jumping to run. Where am I going to go? I'm going to you. And just be still, and he may tell you, now, I need you over there, or this,
yeah.
I don't care what he says, do it.
Do it. Well, when you said be still, I thought about be still and know I'm God.
Know I'm God.
I tell you, a person need that word today.
Yeah.
You need to, if you're troubled in heart, you're confused, you're hurting, you're worried, you're concerned about your family, you're concerned about your children, you're even concerned about the election. The election is not your answer. Your answer is God. God's word, God's will, God's way. God will take care of you. The reason he had me to write this book, No More Empty Hands, to let you know that God will give you a handful on purpose. Put all your trust in God.
Hallelujah.
The Bible said trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Hallelujah.
And lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and God will direct your path.
Oh,
I bless you today. Brother Copeland, bless you today.
Mm.
We're in your home. We are in your car, wherever you are right now, to release the favor and the blessing and the anointing and the truth and the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God on you, your household, your children, your grandchildren, your business, whatever you set your hand to do. As men of God, we are speaking blessing over you today and tell you that God cannot fail. God will not fail. God never fail. God is never out of control. He's always in control. You just got to keep your mouth closed. Don't repeat the horror and the doubt and the unbelief and the fear that you're hearing from the world system. Speak the word of God only. Trust God's word. The Bible says God's word will never return void. It will prosper in what he sent it to do. And the word of God is still prosperous as you speak it, believe it, and act upon it. Here in Genesis 26:12, in the midst of a famine and a recession, you have to release your seed. It says that then Isaac sowed in that land and received. He sowed and received. Sowed and received in the same year, and hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the Lord blessed him. When the Lord bless you, it doesn't matter what's going on around you.
No.
God need no good.
It doesn't matter.
God need no good circumstance to bless you. God need no good atmosphere to bless you. God need no good time to bless you. Matter of fact, God operate better in bad time because we look to him more, and this is a setup. It's a setup of doubt and unbelief and fear for those who do not know God. But you know God. Trust him. Spend time with him. Praise him. Meditate his word. Pray in the spirit. Build yourself up in the spirit, and God will give you divine direction. Some things had to be removed so you can stop trusting in it. Did you hear that? Some things that used to work for you had to be removed so you can stop trusting in it. I said a long time ago to men and women of God, you know, I bless the government. The Lord said for us to pray for leaders. I pray for leaders. But my trust is not in leaders. And God do not want our trust in no one else, Brother Copeland, but him. And we need to keep our trust in God. This man sowed in famine, just like this time of recession. You must find good soil and sow your seed and praise God and wait on divine direction. In Genesis 26, 13 through 14, I wrote these words. You'll find it in the book. No more empty hand. Reaping in a time of recession. Reaping in a time of famine. In Genesis 26, 13, it says, and the man in that same land of famine, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. The 14th verse says, for he had in the land of famine now,
yeah,
because he released his seed.
Nobody else had anything.
Nobody else had anything. The 14th verse says, for he had possession of flocks and possessions of herds and great stores of servants, and the Philistine envied him.
Well, sure now, they did. Nobody else got anything.
They asked him. They had a meeting, a town meeting. They had a town meeting. And they called Isaac to that meeting. And they said to Isaac, go from us because you're too great. Oh, it's a time for God
now,
to show himself strong.
Stupid of them to do that.
Yeah, they needed him there. But see, that's just like people who are watching it. They don't trust their anointing. They want to trust something else. You have to recognize the blessing. You have to recognize when someone is anointed. You have to recognize when someone is working God's word and join yourself to them. It's just like all your partners. Your partners have, I recognize what's on you. That's why I joined myself to you. Your partners join themselves to you. Your partners really, they're going to get a letter from you. They're going to get a prophecy. They're going to get a word from you in the midst of all this.
And it's not going to be famine-based.
No.
It's going to be word-based.
It's going to be word-based, revelation, insight, instruction, direction. That's why it's good to lock in to someone who already has gone where you're trying to go. That's biblical.
Leron, now what you just got through saying was direct ministry of the Holy Ghost on this broadcast to people that will take it and listen to it.
Yes,
people
sir.
That'll say, that's mine, I receive it now. It's just as valid and as powerful as the healing anointing would come, and you say someone's receiving healing of this, that, or the other. It's in that same area. Now, just as you came to the close of that, I heard this. That same 26th chapter, right where he said, don't go down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I'll tell you of, sojourn in this land.
Yes.
Sojourn means to walk through it like you owned it. Don't let it bother you. You bother it.
Yes.
Sojourn in this land, and I'll be with you and bless you. For unto you and to your seed I'll give these countries, and
good.
I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham,
yes, sir,
your father.
Yes, sir.
Now, what does that mean to you and to me? Well, Brother Copeland, that's wonderful and all of that, but what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean when the stock market falls? What does that mean when they tell me somebody's died? What does that mean when I get my deployment notice 6 months early and I got to go to Iraq and face all of that? Well, now listen, what he said, sojourn in this land. Take authority right where you are. Don't cut and run. Listen to God. Now, what did God perform? He said, I will perform the oath I swore to Abraham, your father.
Exactly.
Now, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
Yes, sir. Galatians.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, which includes all the failures, all the poverty, all the sickness, all the disease, all the wars, all of that, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on all the rest of us through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Hallelujah.
Same promise. Same promise. Same God.
Yes, sir.
And Sam changed a bit.
Sam answer.
He's still performing the same thing, the oath that he swore to Abraham.
And in hard time, in time that seem hard, in time when men ways has failed, as I said earlier, God never failed. The instruction here is, sawing hands will never be empty.
Oh, that, and you're talking about now, he said, I don't want you empty-handed.
Sawing hands will never be empty. He multiply your seed sown and then bring increase. In 2 Corinthians 9:10, now he that ministered, notice he didn't give it to you, God ministered the seed to you. What that mean when he ministered the seed to you? Well, that seed has instruction with it.
Yeah, duh.
That seed has direction with it. So he didn't just, God don't just give us seed. God ministered seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. So remember this, sawing hands will never be empty. That's why God said no more empty hand, because if your hand, and he wants you to come before him empty-handed, because you rob him of the rights to manifest in your life what he wants you to have. You've got to be a sower. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 21, the Bible is talking about inheritance substance, fear thy hand. In Proverbs 8, 21, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasure. Then we read in Genesis 13, 1, 2. It talks about being very rich. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And we know in the 14th chapter of Genesis, when they came from that battle, they wanted to give Abram some of the spoil.
Yeah,
and Abram said to them, no, I don't want none, because I don't want no man to say he made me rich. He was testifying to the fact that God had made him rich, and he wanted to give God the glory. So God do make men rich. The blessing of the Lord make us rich, and he had no sorrow for it. But it's a charge with it. Paul charged him, I'll charge you. Yeah.
That is really important.
Yes, I charge those that are rich in the world, be not high-minded. Now, in the world system, people who has no governor on their life, they can't help but be high-minded. Charge them not be high-minded, no trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. But it makes it, and be ready to communicate and ready to distribute. But it says, God who give us richly all things to enjoy.
Part of the enjoyment is the giving of it.
Yes. That's the beginning of it.
It's not just the driving it.
It's the giving.
The Lord spoke to me one time, told me to give you my car.
Yes, sir.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Back
and
I hadn't had that car for a few days. Yeah. And I said, oh, yeah, Lord, praise God. Well, and what I've thought about this so many times, the Lord was... That meeting we were in with 30 Days of Glory, and there were some things that God had to put on tape and put on paper, and it had to be done.
I
thought about it so many times. That particular kind of car and so forth, I'd really admired that for a long time, and I really wanted one of those kind of cars and that color, and the color was hard to get.
Yeah, yes.
And I had been enjoying it, man. I've been enjoying his car. I'd get in that car, and I'd say, oh, Jesus, this is marvelous in my eyes. Thank you, Lord. You gave me this car. I love it. And I'm driving along. Well, but a few days later, the Lord said, now, in that meeting, said, before Leroy goes back, this time won't you give him that car?
Yeah.
Well, when I did, I thought, you know, I've enjoyed driving that car, but I ain't had near the fun out of driving it. I had given it to me.
I know it. I rejoiced.
I got so thrilled over that thing.
Yes, and that's what it's all about.
If I still had that car, the thing would be old and look funny and all, because this is long. This is a number of years ago.
A number of years ago.
But I'm still enjoying the giving of it. That's lasted with me all this time. And I think about it sometimes. I think, boy, that was... That's a neat thing. And you think about the seeds you've sown and gives you richly things to enjoy. I enjoyed driving it. I enjoyed giving it. I enjoyed the harvest that I got from it and the harvest and da-da-da.
Oh, man, the sowing, you can't be sowing. You know, I bought a new gold wing. I had put every piece of chrome you could put on that thing. I had it just right. I'm preaching. An elder gentleman in my church had wrecked his bike. I'm preaching, and I hear God says, give George that bike. And you can hear it on the tape. I said, God, you're going to talk to me again. You know what he said next time? He said, George, in essence, Leroy, I'm not playing with you. If you're going to move with me, I'm not going to speak a whole sentence to you. And I told them, boy, go get that bike and drove it into church and give it to George. I said, George, this is your bike here. Take the bike.
You rode it in.
Rode it in church. And I was negotiating for my Citation III, my third jet, and it was giving me trouble. Once I gave that bike, boom, that thing broke loose, and I had that plane within 2 or 3 weeks.
I had nothing to do with the world. Has nothing to do with their system.
No.
Has nothing to do with their ideas or nothing. But
I did not. I changed quickly because when I found out that he really wanted me to give him that bike, I didn't give it discouragingly or disgustingly. I rejoiced.
Now, you already had a charge. Be ready to distribute. Be ready to give it.
Yes, right. Let it go.
That protects you from covetousness and love and money and things.
Absolutely. You got to get there. You got to get there. And that's why you got to come to a progression system in order to get to certain levels in wealth or prosperity to increase, because you got to be unattached from this.
If you can't be obedient with a motorcycle, what do you think you're going to do with a jet airplane?
Exactly.
Because you ain't got no business coveting that jet more than you do that motorcycle.
Exactly. Got to let it go if the Lord said let go.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I'll do exactly what
you're
telling me
to do. If you can't manage the motorcycle, the car, the airplane, like, there's a partner of mine, a friend of mine, and it bothered him when I've got a jet. The Lord said, now, if one airplane bothers you, how could I trust you with an airline?
Oh, I'm looking
to give people airlines and businesses and banks. And
you hung up, you hung
he
up
said,
jet.
Oh, God, I repent. Forgive me, I repent. But now, that's the system, isn't it, Leroy?
Yes.
That's the way this thing works.
Yes. God never asks you to give something if he's not trying to get something better to you. God taught me that lesson. He said, I'm gonna share this with you, he said. He said, I never ask you to give anything unless I'm trying to get something better to you. He didn't have to tell me that. Yeah. His word tell me that all the time.
Yeah, it does.
But he just brought it out to me so that I never hold on to anything, you know.
He's providing for them. He's providing for you. That's the way he does things. God's not a gambler. Somebody wins and somebody loses. No, we all win in this system, and we're out of time.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Brother Leroy, I'll be back in just a moment.
How much can you grow in 3 days? What about an entire week? Get rooted in the Word of God and engage your faith at these life-transforming meetings in 2009. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for 3 days at the Branson Victory Campaign, March 5th to 7th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri.
You're not blessed because of wealth and riches in your house. You have wealth and riches in your house because you're blessed.
Then to Long Beach, California for the West Coast Believers Convention, June 29th to July 4th at the Long Beach Convention Center.
It's really like a breath of fresh air.
Just charges us up for the year to come.
I just can't stay away from it.
Head on down to Texas for the Southwest Believers Convention from August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information on these or other Kenneth Copeland Ministries meetings, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.
You know, Leroy, years ago, the word of the Lord came to me, and in fact, he had to upbraid me for it, and he said, he corrected me,
He said, now, you make every Friday offering day.
Yes.
Every Friday on the Believer's Voice Book. And he gave me this scripture in Galatians 6. Let him that's taught in the Word communicate or respond and react to the message that he's taught. Unto him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. Now, for a person to say, now, see there, all that Leroy and that Copeland want is your money. They preach all week, and then they want your money. No. Now, see there, you weren't mocking Leroy and me.
You're mocking the Lord.
You're mocking God.
You're mocking his
because all he and I, we're just delivery boy of this thing. You're mocking God. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, you spoke of this earlier this week. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you keep turning to other voices and other plans, and here they all got a plan and an idea for your future. But if you keep doing that, you're going to keep reaping the same thing.
Exactly.
It'll puff up and look good, and then it'll collapse. It'll puff up and look good, and then it collapses.
Wow.
But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life, zoe, the life of God. It's a Greek word. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, zoe, the life of God, and have it more abundantly. Yes. It's hard to say in English.
Yes.
It's called life everlasting. It's called eternal life. The only way I've ever been able to express it in my own heart is it's the thing that makes God, God.
Wow.
It's that living thing in him. And when you respond to a word that you've heard preached and it got in your ears and your eyes and in your mouth and got down in your spirit, then you react and respond and you sow something, you give something. Then it releases the life in your spirit, and now it's become yours.
Wow.
That word has become yours.
Wow.
Father, we pray for this audience all over the world.
Thank you.
Please,
Lord,
reveal to them, Father,
the
what you would have them do in responding and reacting to what they've heard all this week that will release and help them go strong in it in Jesus' name. Now, if you live outside the United States, use the information that's on your screen. Your offering stays right in that area where you are. Go to work. Go to church this weekend. If you're in Louisiana, you know where to go. The Word of Life Christian Center in Darrow, Louisiana. Praise God. Thank you, Leroy. I'll see you again Monday, man.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you again Monday. Remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thanks for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, visit kcm.org or call us toll-free at 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. Thank you, partners, for helping us to declare from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around that Jesus is Lord.